I invite you to stand for our gospel reading today. It comes from John chapter 6, starting at verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Let's just start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the bread of life, that you have come to give life to each and every one of us. Lord, I just pray now that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon this place. Open up our hearts to hear what you want us to hear. And Lord, I just pray that you would give me the words to speak, that they would be your words and not my own. Amen. So I ask you, why are you following Jesus? Is it because you not only believe in him, but you do actually believe him and his words? Or is it possible that at times you follow him, like the ones we heard about in this gospel reading, because of what Jesus can do for you? In this passage, Jesus says that these ones followed him not because they saw signs, but because they were seeking food, food that would perish. Much like the food that God had provided as manna in the desert for the Israelites. But here, Jesus encourages us not to work for food that will perish, but to work for food that lasts and endures to eternal life. Now, depending on how you were raised as a child, you might have a view of this work with an earning mentality. I know that I have been guilty of believing that if I was just good enough, I could somehow earn God's love. If I didn't misbehave or sin, then I would receive eternal life with Jesus. How sad it was for me, and how sad it is for those who believe that lie. Now, if you've ever believed this sort of teaching, then you have been misled. And you've not received the true gospel of the truth of God's grace and mercy that he has for us. None of us on our own can ever be good enough or work hard enough to earn Jesus' love. It's a free gift. But in order for us to have the benefit of that gift, we must receive it by faith. If you could just bring up verse 28, if you want to find it in your bulletins or in your Bibles. It says, the crowd asked him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Just listen to Jesus' response. He says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. That is our work, to believe in Jesus whom God has sent to us. And if you look at verse 27, as Jesus talks about working for food that endures to eternal life, he says, which the Son of Man will give to you. So what kind of work has the Son of Man given to you? I don't know about you, but many times I find myself wanting to work for God, wanting to do for him. Now, I believe that that's a natural response because of the love of God in our hearts, but all too often we can get ahead of God, doing for him what we want to do instead of waiting for that which the Son of Man will give us to do. Our key role is to believe in Jesus and then to respond to that belief that we have, doing what we sense Jesus is calling us to do, not the other way around, doing for Jesus to show that we believe him. But whatever works we do, as it is written in our readings in Ephesians, whether we are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, musicians, missionaries, farmers, nurses, doctors, whatever it might be, they are to be the works that God has already set out for us to do, even before we were born. In Romans chapter 9, Paul writes about Esau and Jacob while they were still in Rebekah's womb. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purposes in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told the older will serve the younger. Sometimes I find it hard to see why our scheduled readings for a particular Sunday are there. Just doesn't make sense to me. But this Sunday, the recommended readings, in my opinion, they would just were woven from one right into the other. From the bread that God provided to the Israelites, being bread that will perish, to the bread of Jesus himself. That is the bread of life. And then the works of God is that we believe in the one God sent in John's reading to the work of the body in Ephesians until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. One of the versions I listened to on my phone referred to each part, that is of the body, working properly, making the body of Christ grow so that it builds itself up in love until we reach unity in the faith. In the midst of this reading in Ephesians, Paul warns us about the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. It says we are to grow in faith so that we are not tossed by every wind and wave, carried away by every wind of doctrine. And then we are encouraged in verse 15. When we encounter those around us who have been led astray by this deceitful doctrine, we are to be speaking the truth in love. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Because that's what we're really called to do, is to grow together in unity as the body of Christ. And so when we see someone straying, we are to speak the word in love. We're not just supposed to dismiss it, but speak the word in love. As we move back to our gospel reading in John, he speaks about our selfish motives and how in the midst of that we can miss God. In verse 26, Jesus answers the people who are seeking him in this. He says, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Here he is telling us that by seeking him, because of the signs he has given to them. How many times are we guilty of seeing the signs of God and yet not believing them? At the beginning of this chapter, John writes in verse 2, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. And then at the end, the next verse to what we read, in verse 36, it says, but I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Over the last several months here at Trinity, we have had many signs and wonders performed in our midst. Miracles, if you want to call them that. Just a little over 3 months ago, Emmett went into the hospital for what we had hoped would be his last heart surgery. Well, as you already know, that was not the case. And over the next coming months, he faced many challenges along the way. More than once, the doctors almost lost him. And then came the greatest challenge of all. He had a stroke that the doctor said would change his life forever. Over the last couple months, we have seen Emmett go from a lifeless, sick little boy to a strong, determined little boy, changing and improving every single day. Now, please don't get me wrong in this. I do believe that Emmett is a strong fighter. But where did that fight for life come from? Who gave it to him? And on his own, do you really think that Emmett would be alive and well today? I don't. I firmly believe that he is here today because of God, because of what God has done. Many people in this room and many people in this town and in this area, in this province, in this country, have believed in God and put their trust and hope in him. There have been so many believers who have called upon God in prayer to work in Emmett's life. And just like the story of Lazarus, God was at work in Emmett's life, performing miracles so that he might be glorified. In John 11, Jesus responds to the words of Lazarus' condition. This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. For the last 3.5 years since Emmett has come into our lives, my prayer has been that God be glorified through Emmett and his life. Technology and social media is sometimes not used for good. But in the case of Emmett, it has been used to bring people together. It has been used to encourage Doug and Michelle in their walk. Many people have been following Emmett's progress on social media. Well, we are a body of believers. I believe it has brought this community, this town, this church together. It has encouraged not only Doug and Michelle and their family, but it has encouraged us and brought us together. We need only to look to the prayer meetings that we've had at our church, where people from other congregations have come together. Or what about the fundraiser to raise funds? People from all over, people who don't even know Doug and Michelle, who'd never heard of Emmett before, came together in support of them with monetary gifts, with prayers, with words of encouragement. But as we all have friends who are non-believers, I'm sure that some of those people who have been following on social media have not been believers either, have not known of what the Lord has done for us in our lives. But just as Jesus performed signs for the people when he walked on this earth, I believe that he has shown many signs right here in Emmett's life. For those who haven't believed, I wonder, have they seen the signs? Have they wondered? Have they questioned how Emmett went from near death to life with abundance? This past year, Pastor John Mark's focus has been leading others to know Jesus. How has what has happened in Emmett's life affected you? Has it changed you? Have you seen the signs? Do you believe that those signs are from God? What has happened in Emmett's life? What is it saying to you? Are you giving God the glory for what has been done, for what he has done in Emmett's life? What are you saying to the people around you? We've been encouraged this past year to lead others to know Jesus. What are you going to be saying this week?